EWTN, Global Catholic Radio, offers you the opportunity to make an Ignatian retreat. Now, to explain the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius, here's Father Raymond Goronsky.
Welcome, pilgrim. It may surprise you, but all the events in your life have led up to your coming here today. God has a plan that, hidden from our eyes, is like a mysterious hand guiding us through the confusing paths of our lives. So it is His desire that you be here. I'm Father Ray Goronsky, a Jesuit priest. I teach theology, I give a lot of retreats, and when I'm not teaching or preaching, I like to get away and be with God more intimately. And I'm glad to be visiting with you and sharing some of the things I've learned about God and His ways with us. God has a way of getting our attention when He wants. When He wants to speak with us, He can do things that we would not imagine. He knocked Saul to the ground on the road to Damascus and changed his life forever and changed the course of world history with it. In the 16th century, He called a man named Ignatius by having his leg shattered by a cannonball in wartime. While recovering in bed, Ignatius learned that there is a difference between the spirits, between the Spirit of God, which gives peace and joy, a peace and joy which last, and the spirits of this world, which excite us for a while, but leave us empty, tired, and sad. He called you from the life of running around like a madman to be still and let God be Lord of your life, even as He called me. So you have come from the world which promises so very much and gives so very little in the end. And you've come to a place of peace and rest where you can hear God remind you of your true name, where you can listen to the heartbeat of your God and learn some of the great things He has in mind for you. Welcome, pilgrim. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Permit me not to be separated from thee. From the wicked foe, defend me. At the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to thee, that with thy saints I may praise thee for ever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God. We speak of God all the time. When we use the word, we think we know just what we're talking about. But who is God? What do I mean when I use the word God? The Christian God, who is completely other than His creation, is a perfect community of eternal love, eternal union, the Blessed Trinity. This God, out of sheer generosity, decided to create a world, to create space and time, to create something where there had been nothing. The most important thing is to remember that God created me to know, love, and serve Him, as St. Ignatius says, to praise, reverence, and serve Him, and by this means to save our souls. What has my own journey in faith been like? What did God have in mind when He created me? These are some of the questions we're going to be looking at this evening. We're looking at retreats, making retreats. And I'd like to share with you a story which I like, because it points to the mysterious way in which God works in our lives. I'd like to share with you the story of the most unusual retreat I think I ever made. It was about 10 years ago. I was a student in Rome at the time, and I was going to visit relatives of mine in the Soviet Union. My mother was going to meet me there on a trip from America. And I was taking a train from Poland, from Warsaw. It's a funny story, but I was carrying illicit Bibles and religious literature into the Soviet Union. At that time, that was forbidden. And just before I left for the train station, a very pious brother in the community came up to my room and he said, "Father," he said, "I have something that you have to have." He said, "It's a special help from God for your journey." Well, it was some dried bread in a bag. I said, what is that? He said, that's St. Agatha's bread. He said, St. Agatha is the patron saint of smugglers. And if you want to smuggle some illicit Bibles to the Soviet Union, you place this blessed bread over there and she'll get you through. Well, I'd never heard of the patron saint of smugglers, but anyway, I placed myself in her intercession and then headed out onto the train. But when we got to the border, something very unpleasant began to happen. We sat for about 4 or 5 hours. They used to change the wheels at that border crossing. And I began to get very, very ill. Very, very ill. Sicker and sicker. So much so that the border police offered to send me to a hospital. But I said, no, I'll wait till we get into the Soviet Union itself. Then as soon as we got there, I was taken to the local hospital. And the doctors said to me, obviously your appendix is bursting. We have to operate on you immediately. Well, my mother, being a good Catholic mother, said, well, you're not going to operate until he gets a chance to go to confession. So now we have to find a priest. But I said, well, no, I had recently been to confession and I was not in danger, I hoped, of losing my soul. But I said, I would like a chance to say Mass before the operation. The doctor said, well, it's your risk. But I took it and said Mass. And at that Mass, I consecrated a dozen hosts so that I would be able to communicate while I was in the hospital. And sure enough, we returned to the hospital. The operation took place immediately. And I was recovering for about 10 days. They took very good care of me. But while I was there, our Lord was present in the Blessed Sacrament as he would never have been in a Soviet hospital otherwise. The people were very nice to me. I got a private room because I was an American who'd gotten sick. And so I had the opportunity to pray and to reflect on the things of God for over a week and a half. And it was a retreat I had never had planned in a context I had never had planned either. So God does mysterious things in our lives. In my case, I became very dramatically ill in a country which was officially atheist. And courtesy of the Soviet Union, I had a week and a half retreat in a Soviet hospital. So when we look at making a retreat, we're coming into the presence of a God who calls us as and when he wills. And we want to use whatever he gives us as a stepping stone towards him and towards his love for us. So if you are sick or laid up in the hospital or at home, this may well be a wonderful opportunity for you to really spend special time with God in the context of a retreat. When we approach our Father, it's with great confidence, because God will give us bread and not a stone, as Jesus has assured us. So we approach him with the trust of children who approach a loving Father. I'd like now to talk a little bit about God, because I find I could give you a whole retreat and never quite address the question is, who is this God? Whom do we address? What are we talking about when we talk of God? I do that all the time in the classroom and ask students, well, we talk of God. I could talk of God for 4 months and everyone would shake their heads and say, well, what do we mean when we talk about God? God is oftentimes seen as the absolute, or the perfect one, the one beyond all qualifications, infinite being, perfect being. And there is a truth to that. All cultures have known something of this supreme being. Some of the highest cultures have known a supreme intelligence, or a supreme state of consciousness, if you will. But oftentimes, this supreme being is impersonal. A mathematical intelligence who's behind the mathematical perfection of this universe. The Christian God is far different from this, far other than this, if you will, far simpler and far more delightful than that which human imagination would reveal. When we say God as Christians, we really should immediately add the word Trinity, because God for the Christian is a trinity of persons, always a trinity of persons, a communion of love, a community of love, eternally circulating love as between Father, Son, in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is our understanding of God, and our understanding of God is ultimately personal. And that is to say, it's not we who are persons kind of project this onto some impersonal ultimate mathematical reality. But the Gospels insist the opposite. It is God who is ultimately personal. It is God who is Father, Son, and Spirit, a perfect community of love, and we are created in the image and likeness of God. That is to say, who we are as persons takes part in the personhood of God. Now, we experience that, perhaps most dramatically, in our experience of motherhood. Because the mother with the child is such a perfect expression of tenderness, of love, and of caring. That's known in other cultures as well. I often think of the Chinese character for goodness, Hao, and the Chinese character is a woman with a child. And so a civilization which was not Christian knew of the sacredness of this intimate link, of this intimate relation, thousands of years before our Lord. And this was a kind of a natural wisdom and something of the wisdom of God revealed there. We see it in our own tradition brought to magnificent focus in Our Lady and in European civilization in the beautiful understanding of the Madonna and child. But God has chosen to reveal himself as Father. The God whom we as Christians approach in Jesus Christ is the Father of Jesus. And when we enter into the spiritual exercises, I think it's very, very important that we appreciate something of the power and the majesty of God as Father. Motherhood is unsurpassable, and motherhood tells us so very, very much about the love of God. And we see that in our own tradition, in the relation of Our Lady, the Mother of God. But I think we have perhaps gotten rather far from an understanding and appreciation of the fatherhood of God. And I think it's very important that we treasure that. Many people, as they approach God, have trouble with this, because fatherhood is so powerful an expression of God that it's very often misused, even abused in our cultures, and very difficult for people to think of God as Father, because many times people's experiences of their human fathers have been painful or inadequate. I think that as we enter into the retreat, it's important that we reflect on our own relations with our parents, with our mothers, with our fathers, and realize that the human father that I had is not, in fact, God, and that, in fact, what I've experienced of fatherhood, yes, is a pointer to who God is, but it is only Jesus who fully reveals and perfectly reveals the tenderness combined with infinite power and majesty of God the Father. And so we turn to God the Father as our Father, as the Father of Jesus. And we enter into relation with God in the community, which is the Blessed Trinity. Now, the Father, eternal God, decided out of his own goodness, out of his own bounty, to create a world other than himself. This is a doctrine which sets Christians apart from many of the world religions, for whom the world kind of just bubbles up, if you will. For the Christian, the world is created by an intentional act, and the world, all of created being, is other than God, created by a word of God, but other than God, and in his providence, reflecting the mind and intention of the Creator, but other than God. This God chose to create. There was no necessity in creating. God did not have to create us or create the world. Out of love, he did. Love, say the Church Fathers, wants to spread itself. That's the very nature of love. It's like the nature of joy. You know, when you're joyful, you're happy, you want to share it with somebody else. Well, the Fathers teach us that God is like that. God so loves being, is such perfect bliss in the love and the communication of love within God, that he wanted to share this with the world. And so God created the world and said, let it be, and so it was. And St. Ignatius, at the beginning of the exercises, turns our attention to this in something called the first principle and foundation. I'd like to share it with you. Man is created to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save his soul. The other things on the face of the earth are created for man to help him in attaining the end for which he is created. Hence, man is to make use of them in as far as they help him in the attainment of the end, and he must rid himself of them in as far as they prove a hindrance to him. Therefore, we must make ourselves indifferent to all created things as far as we are allowed free choice and are not under any prohibition. Consequently, as far as we are concerned, we should not prefer health to sickness, riches to poverty, honor to dishonor, a long life to a short life. The same holds for all other things. Our one desire and choice should be what is more conducive to the end for which we are created. And to repeat, the end to which we are created is to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save our soul. Many times people wonder what it is to save our souls. As you drive around the country, you see signs saying that Jesus saves. And people ask, have you been saved? Here in the spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius very clearly indicates to us how we are to cooperate with the will of God in saving our souls. We're created to praise, reverence, and serve God, our Lord. And everything else that exists in the face of the earth is to be used to help us in attaining our end. And we're supposed to be free of everything else to the extent that it blocks us to attain the end for which we are created. Think of it. It's such a magnificent thing. We're created to praise God, and by praising God, we save our souls. We're called to reverence God, to be respectful of God, and by that means to save our souls. We're called to serve God, and by that means to save our souls. Now, God has called us into being from nothingness in order that we might know his goodness for all of eternity. And he has shared with us one thing which I think is perhaps the most precious of all the many gifts he has and which he gives us, and that is the gift of our freedom. He calls us in a freedom which allows us to be sharers in his very nature, because we're called to freely know him, to freely love him, and to freely serve him. He could have created, a race of robots, or programmed us like so much of nature is programmed. But no, even though we do reflect the material creation, even though our bodies do follow the laws of material creation, still he has placed in us, if you will, a wild card, a spark. And that spark is our freedom, in which is found our dignity as human beings, something that no one could ever take away from us. Now, all of creation sings the praises of God. We do it with freedom. St. Augustine, in a beautiful passage, says that as you walk through the world says one thing over and over and over again, the creation, the forest. We did not make ourselves, God made us. Think of it. As you walk through the forest and you look at the trees, and you hear the birds, they're not saying, look at me, I'm a great tree. If you're really listening to what they're saying, whatever beauty I have points to an intelligence and a goodness which created me. The trees don't have little labels saying, I'm great. The trees and the stars and all of nature points to the one who is great. It's we who like to flex our muscles and say, I am great, while we forget that any goodness or any greatness we have is a gift from our Creator. And so it is our dignity and our calling to freely worship God by praising him, by being reverent to him, and by serving him. There's a beautiful phrase I once heard from the American Indian tradition, that one should walk in a sacred manner. And I think that behooves us, it behooves us Christians to be reverent of God in his universe as well, to walk in a sacred manner as we walk through the world, remembering that I did not create this universe. I did not give myself life. Everything that I have, everything that I am, is a gift which has been given me in trust. And it's been given me not for my own aggrandizement, not for my own ego, nor am I part of a world process so that I'm a producer and a consumer and that's all that I am. No. I'm made in the image and likeness of God and called to know Him, to love Him, to serve Him, as the Baltimore Catechism used to say, to praise, reverence, and serve, as St. Ignatius puts it. That was very helpful to me in my own younger and more prodigal days. Once I remember being rather lost and very, very confused and not remembering a whole lot about the catechism that I had been taught. And that which came back to me was the first thing that I learned, that I was created to know, love, and serve God. In the spiritual exercises, that's what we're aiming to do, to know God more intimately, that we may love Him and serve Him with everything in us, both in this life and for eternity. And that is our call. That is our dignity. Now, why did God make me? He made me to give Him glory. But God did not create me as just a number or just a unit. God knows me by name. God calls me by name. God Himself reveals a name in the Old Testament. And in the New, His Son has the name of Jesus. And so we are in a personal relation with a God who knows us and calls us by name. And as I said to you at the beginning of the show, everything in our lives is conspiring, if we let it, to lead us into the greater glory of God, into the greater love of God. And so I suggest that one thing you begin to do, as we go deeper into our retreat, is to consider your own spiritual autobiography. Begin to look back with God's help at how God has been present in your life from the beginning. Who first taught you about God? When did you first experience something of God? What has been your life in the sacraments? How were you initiated into the Christian life? What has your experience of God been like as He pours out His life for us in the mysteries which are the sacraments? What strange turns have there been in your life, like my trip to the Soviet Union, where something that seemed painful, difficult, yet turned to be a wonderful surprise to the glory of God? There's an old Jewish saying that God made man because He likes stories. The Bible isn't really a philosophical book, you know. It's not primarily a philosophical tract, nor is it a theological tract. From start to finish, the Bible, the Word of God, is primarily a book of stories. Why? Because God loves stories. It's a great mystery. We see the beauty of God in nature, in the stars, in creation, yes. We see God, perhaps even more dramatically, in the stories of God interacting with human and angelic wills and intelligences through the course of time. And so, reality for the Christian is a drama. It's not just a laying out of a beautiful planet, of a beautiful cosmos, though it is that. The creation is the creation of such beauty that surrounds us that you can't help but praise God. And yet, God enters into this drama and has, from the beginning, been involved so that the story which is told gives glory to God in every aspect of the universe. And so, ask God in prayer to show you where He has been in your life. And try to begin to create your own spiritual autobiography. What is the story that God is telling through my life? What is the sense that God wants me to see? But ask God in prayer to show you this. One other tip I would suggest for you at this point in our retreat is that we enter into the examination of conscience. That is to say, that at least once a day, and hopefully twice, we pause for some minutes. 15 would be ideal, but whatever you could offer to the Lord. Place yourself with thanksgiving before God. Give Him thanks. Ask Him to show you where He has been in that morning, in that afternoon, or that evening. Ask Him to show you how you can improve. Make an act of contrition or sorrow for the ways in which you've offended Him, and then make a purpose of amendment to do better. And so, we ask, where do we encounter God? Well, He speaks to us in creation. He speaks to us in beauty. He speaks to us in stories. He speaks to us in the stories that we'll be reading in Scripture. He speaks to us in the stories of our own lives. These stories fill the Scripture. They fill the created universe. We encounter God in our own stories, as I say, because our lives are witness to the power of God at work in all times and places. The very fact of our being is a hymn to God's glory, but to bring this to mind, to praise, reverence, and serve God for this, let us look at His work as Creator, see His hand in the world around us, and then look for Him in the mysteries of human life and in our own lives, not least of all. Let us pray. Dear Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve You as You deserve, to give and not the cost, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to seek reward, save that of knowing I do Your most holy will. Amen.
This has been an Ignatian Retreat with Father Raymond Goronsky on EWTN, Global Catholic Radio.